anointed.
We're all anointed. It's all truth. Are we declaring truth? I don't think I've declared anything this morning that hasn't been truth. I don't think I've said anything today that's not worthy, a worthy cause to stand up for. If that Equality Act were to pass, man, we would be in trouble. Can you imagine people just, I'm putting a dress on, I can go into a women's restroom, whatever? That to me is insane. That's not what the majority in the United States wants. Amen. Thank you for, Lord. Believer's Authority Part 7. I've been excited as the things that I've learned about the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come to know Him as your personal Savior, have given us access to. Does it mean that we exercise it? Does it mean that we're walking in it? In many cases, for some people, they're not even aware of it. But it doesn't mean that's the truth. It doesn't mean that truth doesn't still exist. You've heard that saying that ignorance is bliss. You ever said that? You ever heard that saying? But as far as our salvation, knowing our Lord, walking with Him, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance in the Word of God and an understanding of Him can be devastating to our lives. Let's put it this way. It is devastating to our lives because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We have an enemy whose his one goal is that we don't understand truth and that we don't walk in it. Amen? Jesus is saying, hey, hear my voice. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Amen? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall. It's truth that sets us free. It's truth that gives us the ability to walk in His freedom. If you don't know that truth, then it's an area of ignorance. Doesn't mean you're stupid or dumb. It just means you're not aware of it. You're ignorant of it. Amen. Isn't that wonderful that the Word of God leads us into revelation of Him? The Word of God leads us to understanding Him. When we read the Word of God based upon knowing that He loves us, that He is for us, right? That He desires to lead and guide us, the Word opens up into a whole new world. Now we don't read it as a list of things I better get and check. You ever read the Word of God like, okay, I'm reading that. Okay, I'm going to apply that to my check. Okay, I'm going to read this. I'm going to apply that to my life today. Check. If you read the Word of God like that, like a list of things you want to do and don't do, it'll never work out. You'll never walk according to the Word of God or walk according to what He has for you successfully, with joy, with strength, with confidence. See, we read the Word of God today saying, Lord, who am I in You? If you've been around here at all for any amount of time, you understand that the Word of God, for those who know Him, is like, who am I in You? What do You have for me? What are Your promises for me? As it says in Corinthians, the promises of God are yes and amen, amen. As Paul said, we believe, therefore we speak and declare. So knowing His promises means everything for you and I today. Amen. Romans 8, 31. Romans 8, 31. Says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? So the thing is what things are these? What are we talking about? What things are these, in other words? If you go up a few scriptures before that, and we're not 32 yet. I'm sorry, Bill, that was my fault. Just verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God for us, who is against us? And so what are these things? A lot of times we'll read a scripture like that, amen, and say, oh, God is for us. But we got to think, what are these things? What then shall we say to these things, Lord? Father, we ask this morning that You would reveal some of these things to us. Father, thank You by the Holy Spirit, people are going to be surprised today what You're going to reveal to them, things, revealing things to them. Revealing truths to them. Revealing things that brings victory in an area of life. Revealing things that bring strength to people that are weak. Amen. God loves making the weak strong. I said God loves making the weak strong. But we got to understand some things. Romans, so we just have to go up a few scriptures before that to understand what these things are. Romans 8, 29 and 30. So these are these things. For those whom He foreknew before time, before you and I were born. Those, you know, God outside of time. God knowing us before we were born, amen? For God, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn. That's Jesus, the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Joint heirs with Christ. Him dying on the cross, raised it again. He's our God, but he's our big brother. He said, the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Who is the firstborn? Jesus. Who are brothers and sisters? You and I. Amen. Raise your hand. That is I. Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Jesus, my big brother. Jesus, the one who leads and guides me. Jesus, the one who's making intercession for the saints, it says, right now, on the right hand of the Father. That's who we're talking about. Amen. But he foreknew us, verse 30, Bill, and these who he predestined. Say predestined. Did you know as born-again believers, you're predestined? Predestined, he knew you, the things. Predestined, even in all we think about is, well, I just, in my predestination, I mean, he knowing us, calling us before we were born, I just see maybe the struggles, the mistakes. If you know Jesus, that's not what he sees. What he sees is him revealing things to you to come out of that, to come into strength, to building yourself up in his most holy, in your most holy faith. Amen. And these whom he has predestined, he also called. What are we talking about? A call. We're talking about those things that he placed within us for purpose. Calling always means purpose. And I can tell you what, the thing that I've said over and over again, the things change in your life when you start pursuing calling. What is that? I can't tell you. He can tell you. He'll tell you as you look to him, say, what is my calling? It's amazing as you pursue him, you'll be looking at your calling in the natural, the things, your talents and abilities in the natural. Some of us say, oh boy, I'm in trouble then. I said some of us. But when his spirit lives you in you, and we start talking about calling, then it's talking about things that are far beyond anything and you and I can do in the natural. Amen? If the Creator lives in you, you know it's going to be beyond anything, your ability. If God's calling you to something and you just feel comfortable and it's not a problem, and it's just like, hey, I'm right in my groove, there's a chance that it's not God. His calling will always take us beyond what we're capable of doing ourselves. His calling will take us beyond what we're able to think in our mind. Or what keeps us up at night saying, how is this going to work out? His calling, he will lead us and guide us from the inside. And you'll be saying, this must be you, God, as you lead and guide me, because I could not do this in the natural. Amen? He's predestined us. He's given us direction. He's called us, purpose in our lives. Amen. And these whom he has called, he has justified. Amen. The big thing, those whom he has called, he's justified. If he hadn't justified us, how could we walk in his calling? I said, if he hasn't justified us, how could we walk in a calling? And those whom he has justified, he also glorified. Isn't that amazing? Predestined. He knew us long before we were born. Hallelujah. Called. Speaks purpose in our lives. Number three, justified. Render us just as if we are innocent, free, and righteous. Justified. And then he is justified, he is also glorified, placed honor within us, dignity. We can hold our head high. He lives within us, regardless of your background, your upbringing, or whatever. You can hold your head high, amen? He glorifies us with his dignity. We are children of the King, amen? So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities and powers. So what is the enemy trying to do? You're not justified. So his full-time job is, you're not called. You're not forgiven. He didn't know you. If he did, he's like, he shouldn't have. So always God trying to make what God has put in us as being illegitimate. That's his desire. That's what his job is. That's his goal. If he can't take your soul, he wants to render you useless for the kingdom here on earth. Going back in Bill, to Romans 8, 31 to 33. We're going to start reading those scriptures again, since we know what these things are now, some of these things. Hallelujah. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Hallelujah. Who will bring charges against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. The enemy people may bring charges against you, but this word of God says he's the one that justifies. He's the one that cleanses. He's the one that makes you born again. He's the one that has your destiny in his hand. No man, no power in hell can have your destiny when you realize these things, who we are in Christ. Hallelujah. When they have come to realize I can rebuke devils, and I'd love rebuking the enemy, but if I don't have a confidence within me of who I am in Christ, it really doesn't matter. Because it's the truth that sets us free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The power of the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit living in you and I dictates our direction. It dictates our confidence. It's what's in us when we have the enemy come against us, regardless of this past week. I don't know how many of you had some tough weeks. I know many did. But today, as we began to worship, man, it brought strength to me. It brought encouragement to me. Started thinking of Philippians 4:4, where Paul is in prison. He's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul, who is shackled, Paul, who is in chains, Paul, who could have said, what am I doing here? Who could have got down, instead filled with the Holy Spirit, started declaring something that we're still speaking 2,000 years later, amen? That we're speaking 2,000 years later. It's something about when somebody's going through something and I see the confidence of God in them, it lifts me up. When I see somebody who's going through something, but they've got their confidence in God, it encourages me. I know that the power of God, the strength of God, the maturity of God is in that individual. Amen? We all have areas where we can struggle and get down, but God is asking us to rejoice in those. God's asking us to have confidence even during those times. Hallelujah? Asking us. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul asked the question, if the creator of the universe, the God who spoke creation into existence, is for us, who can be against us? The things that we see with people and the enemy that are coming against us, yes, they're coming. He's saying, what Paul is saying, who's coming against you? But compared to me, who predestined you, who called you, who justified you, what can they bring against you when you are safely in my hands? They cannot bring anything against you. Who brings charges? A lot of times people can bring charges. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The enemy will bring charges against speaking to our own mind through other people. The thing is do you have enough knowledge of these things we're talking about, who we are in Christ, to reject those things? I'm not that person anymore. God has forgiven me. I'm victorious in Him. I'm walking forward in Him. Amen. The absolute basis of our authority over the enemy is what we believe and what comes out of our mouths. I know I've said it a few weeks, but I got to keep saying it before we move on. It's the important thing. It's the thing that needs to permeate in our hearts and our souls from His Word. Romans 10:10, we had mentioned this. By the way, we meet on Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 7:30. A little time of worship. We're going through the book of Romans. It's been awesome. It's been awesome. I've learned a lot anyway. The book of Romans is just very, very cool. Romans 10:10. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. Did you hear that? With the heart a person believes. The just shall live by faith, right? Romans 4 says of Abraham, if it was by works, it wasn't Abraham who was justified, it says. He believed God and was credited to him as righteousness. Amen. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. Do you believe in Him? Let me ask you today. Believing Jesus rose from the dead, died for our sins, is what saves us. It's our anchor. We don't move away from the anchor. We never get beyond the anchor. We'll grow in Him, but that is our anchor. Justified freely by His grace. Justified by faith alone. Isn't that amazing? And as you grow in that thing, this thing that you might be scoffing right now in your heart called faith, it becomes the most important thing in your life. It's no different if Jesus was standing right here. Your faith grows to touch a position in Him that you've got eyes to see. You see Him in the spirit realm. You see Him by faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the shame of the cross and is now set at the right hand of the Father. Putting our eyes by him, on Him. Looking unto Jesus, how do we do that? It's going to be by faith, amen? And along the way, of course, He's going to do miracles. Along the way, He's going to reveal Himself. Along the way, He's going to reveal Himself through His Spirit. Along the way, He's going to make Himself real to us. But it's during those times when our emotions want to take control that we stand in Him and say, I'm justified by faith. I'm standing here regardless of how I feel, Father God. Regardless of what's raging on inside of me, I will not be moved. Amen? You and I not being moved by faith. So it says right there, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. Wow. Resulting in righteousness. Aren't you glad you have His righteousness? Thank you, Jesus, for Your righteousness. Jesus, thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You that, Lord, I have Your righteousness simply by believing. Hallelujah. You may be saying, but you don't know me. You don't know all the struggles. Welcome to the club. You don't know mine either. My dear wife does, but still loves me. She's the one that encourages me. She was walking in strong faith before I ever did. Amen. Amen. Tell you what, if you got a good wife, you're blessed. You are blessed. If you need a good wife, pray. Amen. So with the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness. What a miracle that is. You know, the natural mind on that, before we move on, just can't comprehend it. It can't. If you're looking to wrap your mind around being justified by faith, it's not going to happen. It'll take a lifetime to start comprehending that as God continues to reveal Himself little by little. I'm telling you right now, it's by believing in Him. Don't let the enemy steal from you. Don't let your emotions keep you down. Let your faith, let the faith of God arise in your heart. Be established. Be proud of that faith. The world will think it's foolishness, amen? But it's what saves us. It's what moves in our lives. It's what allows God to do miracles in our lives. Faith! Hallelujah! With the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness. Do you feel that your faith has resulted in righteousness? Careful. Do you feel? Because it's not always going to be feely, touchy. It's not going to be tangible always. The just shall live by faith, regardless of everything in your mind, regardless of everything going on inside eternally. You're established in truth. Amen? You're established in truth. We thank You for that, Lord Jesus. Resulting, my faith resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation out of your mouth. We said it, you know. We're going to talk a little bit because we did on Wednesday. We've been going through the book of Romans, the second half of that scripture. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Confession means acknowledge. Confession, preaching, your doctrine. Your doctrine comes out of your mouth every day. Doesn't mean we're not growing, but you can know what you believe by what's coming out of your mouth. And you know how you can change that? By being aware as God's touching you, you say, I'm switching gears. What's coming out of my mouth? I've said it before here a few weeks ago. You can rebuke all the devils you want, but then if you turn around and start being negative with your mouth, you've just canceled every prayer. I hate to say that, but you have. Because who you are is the things you start coming saying day after day after day after day. You remember I mentioned this, a good brother in the Lord, and his wife that me and Gina know, that's in Bangkok, Thailand. He's a pastor, a good man. But years ago, you remember I said this probably about 6 weeks ago. At night, there's an evil spirit in his room. And he says, Lord, why is that? Why did you let this in my house? And the Lord spoke to him and said, I didn't, you did. And that day, the things that he said were coming out of his mouth to his wife, allowing an enemy to say, hey, how can I work here? It's not to make people fearful. It's such we're aware that what comes out of our mouth. The enemy going about looking, the enemy goes about looking whom he may devour. One thing is, God started moving in my heart with grace. The first thing he started touching on me about was the confession. What's coming out of your mouth? The things that I used to think were foolishness became absolutely bedrock doctrine in my faith. The things that were coming out. The confession. Do I get it perfect? Not even close, I'm sorry to say. But I don't spend weeks and months there anymore. Those things where I'm still growing, man, I start shifting. Where I come into a service like this and say, wow, Lord, thank you for encouraging me. Wow, thank you for the worship. Lord, thank you for Lori Mark up there who's been ill. Father God, who's walking in faith and strength, declaring his goodness, who's healed. That encourages me when I see people like that. How about you? So when it says that with our mouth we confess, resulting in salvation, well, then the next thing is what's salvation? We've talked about this. We'll deliver just a reminder. So you think, well, what am I declaring? What result of my salvation? I've been saved from hell. I've been saved from eternal darkness. Thank you. And that's true. And that's so awesome. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to spend eternity with him. Amen? But the salvation, that word in the Greek means so much more. So again, Paul could say this, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in deliverance. Hallelujah. And he's speaking health in Jesus' name. And with my mouth I'm confessing salvation. I am confessing your protection. With my confession, resulting in healing in Jesus' name. With my confession, is resulting in wholeness in Jesus' name. And with my confession, I'm declaring I will do well while I'm here on earth. Amen. So what it says is declaring, and with your mouth, declaration, confessing unto salvation, meaning I'm confessing unto, Lord, your wholeness is upon me. Lord Jesus, you've healed my inner man in Jesus' name. Lord, you've healed my body. I believe in that. Father God, I've got prosperity upon my life. I'm declaring that out of my mouth. And leading unto salvation, I'm walking in that, Lord. I'm declaring those things, walking in that with you. Amen. When the enemy hears that, he's like, let's get out of here. I don't like this. He hates faith. He loves doubt, but he hates faith. So as we're declaring that over our families, as we're declaring that on the job, as we're declaring that our home with our loved ones, it is putting seed of salvation and all that it means all to all those around us, to our children, to our grandchildren, to our homes, our marriages, our families. Amen? So out of my mouth, declaration leading to salvation. My question to you this morning is, remind yourself or tell me, what does salvation mean to you this morning? It's much more than just getting your fire insurance. Amen? 1 John 3:2-4. What a powerful scripture this is. Hallelujah. Are you hanging in there? 1 John 3:2-4. Beloved, now I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Let me say that again. Beloved, I pray that in all respects, that says all, doesn't it? All respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Hallelujah. Verse 3, for I was overjoyed when brothers came and testified to your truth. That is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children are walking in the truth. Amen. Do you believe that God wants to prosper you today? What did John say? I'm overjoyed when my children are walking in the truth. Well, what did he just mention about truth? Prosper and be in good health. Amen. Part of salvation, just mention that. Prosper and be in good health. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for prosperity in this house. Amen. Like Pastor Lee says, don't put the baby out with the bathwater. I don't care what you heard on TV. Snake oil salesman saying, send me $50 and you'll get healed. Send me whatever and you'll get this or that. We'll give you some water from the Jordan and it'll do something magical. No, the Holy Spirit lives in us. I don't have to go to Israel to experience everything God has for me. Not saying I wouldn't want to be there, but I have the Holy Spirit in me. Amen. Thank you, Father. So walking in that truth, everything that God would have for us. If we are his children and he loves us and we're walking with him, he wants to bless us. He wants us to be a blessing to others. He wants us to be able to show forth his goodness to others. Amen? Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm going to walk in his goodness. I'm going to walk in his goodness. Prosper in the Greek, meaning to help on the road. Interesting what this prosper in the Greek means. To help us on this road. Amen. Succeed in reaching and our being with us in our business affairs. Your business affairs. Amen. Everything pertaining to you, him leading. You know, that's the most attractive thing. When people see that in our lives, they say, I want that. It's not just blurting out always, you need Jesus. It depends on the situation. Some people want to watch and see your walk. They want to see what God's done in your life. They want to see what you're declaring is working. They want to know that even during the tough times, you're declaring his goodness. Amen? Amen. I want to read something in Matthew 8, 5 through 13 in the Passion Translation, that I love this translation for these scriptures. Matthew 8, starting with verse 5. When Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, a captain in the Roman army approached him, asking for a miracle. Lord, he said, I have a son who is lying in my home, paralyzed and suffering terribly. And the King James says that he was tormented. He was being tormented. Could you imagine? You just think of this right now first. This Roman soldier did not allow his pride, his position in society to keep him from coming to Jesus. He's going up to a Jewish person, a Jewish teacher, somebody in Jewish religion. He's a Roman captain. He's up here. Jews are down here. Don't forget. We're not even interacting with Jewish people, really. But he was in such a position, such a hard position, that he went to Jesus, humbled himself, didn't care what others, what his soldiers, those that were underneath him thought. He says, I'm going to the source of a miracle. So this Roman soldier did not allow pride, did not allow his position in society to keep him from coming to Jesus. His desperation led him to ask Jesus for a miracle. Sometimes desperation can be exactly what is needed for one's heart to turn to Christ. You think of the many miracles in the Bible. Mark 5, 25 and 26, you know this, a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years, an issue of blood. Verse 26, and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but instead had become worse. So it says she looked everywhere but to Jesus. Finally, she had no other options. Then for something in her heart, in her desperation, he said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I've spent everything. I have no options. You might be here, then you've been looking for every other option to turn to, and you're at the point like, where can I go? I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer. People will spend or search the whole world over, try to make their life what they dream to be, and at the end of it, still be empty as ever. And then desperation turned to Jesus. You know, we need some desperation in this country of people turning to Jesus, amen? I'm not talking about begging or because we have promises of God, but a desperation knowing that nothing can change this nation at this point but Jesus Christ. I remember many years ago when there was a great struggle going on in my life and finally had come to the end of my rope. Has anybody ever been to the end of your rope? Maybe none of you. Maybe everything's been perfect. And in my desperation, turning to Jesus, I remember, Lord, I said, it looks like a 1 in 10 million chance. I remember saying this. First, I said, it looks like a 1 in a million chance. And I said, no, it's like a 1 in a 10 million chance that, Lord, that I can change or get out of this situation. And in my desperation, God did a miracle that only He could do. Regardless of where you're at this morning, please turn to Him. Don't look everywhere else. This woman, we admire her faith, but she had tapped out of every other option. That could be you today in a certain situation in your life where you're saying, Lord, where do I turn? You may be speaking to Him and saying, how do I get out of this, Lord? How is this going to work out? Look to Him. In that desperation, put your trust in Him. He loves working against the odds. He loves doing miracles in Jesus' name. He loves doing the impossible. Hallelujah! In her desperation, turning to Jesus Christ. She had tried every other option, and it had grown worse. Had grown worse. So we look at her situation and say, what a woman of faith, but she had become desperate. Jesus had become her last option, and maybe you could be here in a situation in your life. You've tried everything, everything,